My name is Nick Harris, and in this video, I'm going to show you how you can validate and modify data using server-side scripts in Windows Azure Mobile Services. So we're in the portal now, and essentially server-side scripts provide a place for you to execute your custom business logic that you may wish to have performed on the server side. So let's start by familiarizing ourselves with the application. Now this application is the simple to-do list application, which some of you may be familiar with. For those that aren't, basically what it does is it provides a simple task list functionality that persists your data within mobile services. So I can say my task. There's my task added, and you can see that that's added with an ID of one within my mobile service. Say my task again, and there's my second task. Now, most application developers will want some form of validation, and those application developers that are building applications that both capture data on a client application and persist it in a service will typically perform validation on both the client and server side. What I'd like to show you is how you can perform this validation within your mobile service using server-side scripts. So to do this, we can return to the portal, and here's my associated mobile service. You can click into NH to-do list, select data, and the to-do item table. Now you can already see there's my tasks which we added. If I come in and select script, this is where I can actually implement my own custom business logic that'll be executed on the server side. Now this is executed prior to the operation being completed. So in this case, I can write code here that will execute prior to my item being inserted. And likewise, you can write your own business logic using server-side scripts on any of the insert, update, delete, and read operations. So let's take a look at this. And perhaps for my scenario, I'm going to validate that if the task is less than 5 characters long, then it's an invalid task and I want to send back a message to the user about that. And if it's valid, then I want to insert the item. So let's have a look at our parameters here. We've got an item parameter, and that's basically the entity that you've pushed up to be persisted. We've got a user, and this represents the authenticated user. And we've got a request that allows us to do things like write to the response stream and also execute the request. In this case, request.execute basically means insert the item that was passed up. But let's add our logic here. So let's say if our item.text.length less than 5. Now you may be wondering where this text property is coming from. Well, that maps directly back to my entity that I'm passing up to my mobile service. This is my text property on the item. So now I can say if the length of that text is less than 5 characters long, then what I'd like to do is say that's really invalid. So let's say request, respond, and let's say that it's a status code of bad request. And let's provide our error message here. Be 5 or more characters long. So that's that. Now, so we're going to pass back an error, but I don't want to actually save that item if it's invalid. So we can just wrap the piece request.execute that goes and saves our item within the else block such that it's not executed on invalid request. So that's now added validation to our application. So let's go and run the client app again. It's already running here. So let's do the valid case. So it has to be 5 or more to be valid. So there's a valid item. Let's go to less than 5. Now we should see it break, and there you can see that it's responding saying the text should be 5 or more characters long. Now if you'd like to add some kind of handling for this within your applications, the exception is actually a mobile services invalid operation exception, so you can catch that like this. Then within the catch block, you can go off and perform your own handling utilizing that response. And within this, there's e.response status description, which will be the description of the result, and status code, which in this case will be the bad request. So that's how you can capture those errors. So now let's say we've got our validation. What about adding and dynamically sort of creating new data in the server side rather than the client side? So most applications that are persisting data through a service tier typically require things like a created at date. So let's go back to the portal and see how we can do that. It's quite easy to extend your data model to add these new properties or fields. So I'm going to add a created at field here. So this is going to have a created at date now every time that we insert a new item. And through the process of what we call dynamic schema or dynamic schematization, we'll go and add this created at column directly to your to-do item table for you at runtime. So let me save the changes here. If I go to browse, you'll see currently there's no completed at item. So let's go back to our application. And let's say test task. Let's save that. Now if we switch back to our portal and refresh our data, you'll see we've now got a created at column. Now this is great, so we're able to add columns and update data on the server side, which is really good, just by accessing the property on the item. So let's say now perhaps we actually want to deal with this on the client side. So let's extend our client entity here. So here we can say that we want to define a property of type date time, and we'll call this created at. And this I want to define that we interact with it on the server side in Pascal case, sorry, Camel case, and we'll call this created at. Right. So now within our data model on the client side, we're actually able to access this data. So let's have a look at how we can go and bind that to the UI. So on the UI here, I can flip over and I can update my data binding here to print out in a text block the created at time. So that's easy, but we can also do further things. We can go and extend our query here to essentially say that we don't want any items that don't have a created at time. So if you go and look in our service here, you'll see that these ones are all null. So let's go and filter those out. So we can say and to-do item dot created at is not equal to null. So when we refresh the list of items, we're only going to get items that basically have a created at time. Let's run that, and now you can see that there's only the one item there, and you can see the created at time as well. So that is basically how you can go and add server-side script to execute your custom business logic. In this case, we added server-side script to go and perform validation. But you can use server-side scripts for a number of other things. You can perform HTTP requests, so you may want to call out to another third-party service and retrieve some data, or invoke something externally. You may also want to perhaps send push notifications, or do a number of other things. So I hope that was useful. The last thing that I'll leave you with is a little helper here that some people actually don't know about, and I think it's quite useful when you're writing these server-side scripts. There's contextual help here. If you click on that, it'll actually bring up a whole list of help that basically shows you how to go off and do things in scripts. So we can do things like modify the request, validate data. This is the example which we just did then. A little bit different in this case. Read and write data, authorize users, send a HTTP request. It's essentially a nice place to have a quick reference and see how you can do something, and then grab it and get started in your own code. Thank you for watching.